Today on the show, we're going to talk about the latest Disney news and rumors, and Jason's going to recap his Every Ride Challenge run. That's today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 386 of Traveling with the Mouse. I'm your host this week. My name is Adam, and I am joined, as always, by John. John?
I was just sitting here thinking that I didn't have something prepared. Oh, well.
That's what you're thinking about?
You know what popped in my mind, though?
What?
Because for some reason I was trying to think of ones I haven't done. I was like, well, I could do one from Wishes, but I was trying to think about that. When I thought of Jiminy Cricket's voice, you know, for some reason my mind went back to that game when he's like, what was it like? Catch that Cheshire cat. What was that game?
What was that?
It was that game you could buy. It was like, you could actually buy it in the park. Remember? It was like the villains game, wasn't it? Or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
The villains thing. That's right.
Yeah, that's what it was. Anyway.
For PC, that was like totally 20 random. Years ago.
Yeah, that was random. But anyway.
It was. You do a good Jiminy Cricket, though. Longest intro ever. We also have waiting in the wings, Jason.
My siestas are getting shorter and shorter.
Actually, that was longer and longer.
he had an opportunity to take a siesta right there. Yeah. One of your favorite places to have a Dole Whip.
I don't actually do Dole Whips that much, honestly. Is that blasphemous?
That's because they're overdone.
No, it's just I'm not a sweets person that much.
That too, but they're still overdone.
The swirl is where it's at. You got to do the Dole Whip swirl.
That's the swirl with the vanilla and the pineapple, right?
Correct. Soft serve vanilla swirl. Love it. The best. That's what you got to do.
That's what you got to do.
That's what you got to do. How's everybody doing this week?
Great. But speaking of Dole Whips, go back to Dole Whips.
Great. But
I'm on a tangent here.
Enough about me.
You can't mobile order Dole Whips right now. You can only do Sunshine Terrace or whatever.
Sunshine Terrace?
The orange bird, whatever. You can do the orange whatever swirl, but you can't mobile order Dole Whips right now. What's up with that?
That's a shame. It's a real shame.
Right. I was trying to think where I would have mobile ordered one before. I don't think I've ever mobile ordered one.
Aloha Isle. You used to get mobile order Dole Whips all the time, but now Aloha Isle is currently not available for that. Why, I don't know. Anyway.
I was just thinking over at the Poly, I don't remember ever using mobile order. Did I or did I?
You mean for the Dole Whip place?
Yeah. Does it
it's never. Do you need one? Is there never a line there?
I mean, yeah, there's no real reason.
Not that I've seen. Yeah. I mobile order Captain Cooks all the time. Anyway, welcome, as always, to the show. We're going to talk some news. Yes. I always say that, don't I? I always say, as always.
It's just like you always say, what's up, everybody? That's your catchphrase. Yeah.
I guess. I stole that from a YouTuber like a long time
ago. So it's really, yeah, I'm going to say, you're just copycatting.
Yeah.
You should really say hello, Jaws.
Sure. Inside joke. Love to be a part of one someday.
Yeah.
So, news. We're going to talk some news before we get to your challenge recap. But you got quite a bit of recognition there. I'll just sort of tease it for a minute, Jason. You got some recognition from the Every Ride community there on your run this week with your son.
You talking about me?
I am.
Don't mind feeling me. The love.
I said Jason.
I'm just now getting, you know, back to normal after all of that walking.
No. Yeah, you walked 18 miles, is it?
19, basically.
19. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Didn't round up. That's not even a record for you.
Probably not, but still. Well, not the two parks, you know, every park twice, I should say. Run. I'm sure you did more than 18 that day.
Yeah. 23 miles.
Oh, wow, so it wasn't that much more. I mean, it's fewer than I was thinking, given
power walk your way from Magic Kingdom to Grand Floridian via the walkway, it's quite the walk.
Now, I did catch your video of you walking that. Yeah, it's definitely... did you time it? How much longer is it?
It's a decent chunk, and then to get all the way to the parking lot of the Grand Flow takes a while too, even once you get there.
You got to get to the bridge, the Electric Water Pageant Bridge, then you got to go to the next bridge, and then you got to walk basically through the resort, don't you, to get to the parking lot or part of it, right?
So contemporary is still better.
I mean, by a lot, yes. Right? By a lot. Anyway.
Hands down.
Well, we'll obviously talk way more about that later, but let's do a little news. I wanted to talk about a few things that are going on. As of the recording of this, we still don't have like an official opening date for the railroad, Walt Disney World Railroad, but it sure looks like it's going to be soon.
Yeah, I thought I was going to make it before the year was out, but now I'm not so sure.
I don't know. The rumor was that it might open by Christmas. It's been running every day, though, round and round and round. So, I don't know. It could. It's possible. What do you guys think?
It depends on what's it going to look like going through that Tron tunnel.
Construction area. Yeah.
The next question is if they announce that it's going to, like, if they announce ahead of time that it's going to be active, Jason, are you going to go ride the railroad?
Just to ride it.
No. I mentioned in the last show that I was maybe going to join Adam, but I have canceled my DVC stay for Christmas because at the end of the day, three nights.
Yeah. Having to buy tickets.
Three-day tickets. No, the DVC was free, but the three-day tickets with Park Hopper were $600 for one person.
Yeah, for you.
My annual pass renewal, which will be coming up fairly soon, will be on the order of like $850. So, like, okay, so I could pay $600 to go for 3 days.
Yeah, and then a month later or whatever, you got to pay again the $850. Yeah, it makes sense.
So I couldn't justify paying for those tickets.
Yeah, understood.
You came to your senses.
I did. Well, I also realized that I would be going to I want to go with you, Adam. That would be the main thing. But Festival of the Holidays is my least favorite. Right. I would like to find a time to go during the Festival of the Arts, personally.
Yeah. So along those lines, though, Railroad been testing. Tron has also been testing with real life people again on it.
Real people?
Real live people. Yeah.
Live?
You mean, so not people? Josh Tomorrow?
Sponsored by Enterprise. Tron is.
Oh, I saw that. That's kind of tough.
Well, I mean, they're going back to how things used to be.
Yeah.
Everything had a sponsor. What all has a sponsor right now?
What doesn't?
What People all, Mover what, has one.
Right there by, what was it, Alamo or something? Is that what the current one is? I forgot.
What is Space Mountain's current one? It had a few in the past. RCA, FedEx.
They need one with a lot more money because
Space Enterprise.
Needs...
Yeah, it's Enterprise. Both of them are for Enterprise
Space?
Now.
Oh, is Space Mountain Enterprise?
For People Mover. People Mover.
Oh, People Mover.
Oh, Enterprise. Okay, it used to be Alamo. That was before. Yeah. Okay.
The funniest one was whenever Siemens sponsored Spaceship Earth. Now, that was hilarious.
Right, sure. Could make a lot of jokes there, but...
Yes, there was a lot of jokes made.
The family show.
It is... Space Mountain does not currently have a sponsor. It has not had one since 2004 was when the last sponsor...
Might be in danger of being shut down.
Right. It needs a good, like, overhaul. Like, they need to redo the whole track, really, but... Any more on that one?
No, other than now I'm starting to think about sponsors and attractions.
Oh, you want the sponsors? A test track a Chevrolet?
Oh, I know that one.
Big shot.
That one's the obvious one. Does Guardians have
Living
one?
With the Land still presented by Chiquita? I don't
know. What? When was it presented by Chiquita? Was that recently? I thought the whole pavilion was presented by Nestle at one time, but maybe that's been a few years now.
Isn't Ziploc now doing Jungle Cruise? I guess they moved over to Jungle Cruise since Splash is going to close soon.
I can remember a lot of the original sponsors for the Epcot attractions because they were pretty obvious.
Right.
Like while Exxon still, was Energy.
Yes. I'm still talking about Ziploc because I was going to mention the fact that isn't it a little weird that they're handing out Ziploc bags for Jungle Cruise? Like, do you really need it? If you hold your phone out in the backside of water,
maybe there's some sort of joke that they're trying to use in there. Maybe they can utilize it. I don't know.
They just needed a water ride at Magic Kingdom, and that's the only other one that they can use.
Pirates has a drop.
Yeah, actually, that would be the closest one because I've gotten the cannons have gotten me the last several times I've done pirates.
Yeah.
My son will tell you, and we'll get to the challenge run, he got more wet on pirates than Splash on our challenge run.
From the cannonball?
Yep.
The cannonball. The cannonball got me the last time.
Maybe it should be sponsored by a cannon.
I think I get the most wet. Well, Splash Mountain, definitely. But Frozen, I get wet. I always end up on the one of the sides and front.
Kali gets
that's what I was about to say. Kali's got to be the worst.
Yeah, especially if you've got a kid.
If you get the right spot.
Yeah. Well,
no one ever wants to ride Kali with me. I think Kali's a great ride.
It's boring.
Not great. It's not great. I mean, I'll ride it. I like it.
But yeah, I mean, I will too. But it's still
not. It's, yeah.
I think it's of great. Those, I love it.
Yeah, I know those, why you love it.
Yes. Of those style of rides, it's really not great.
There's not much to it. Yeah. There's not much to it. It's pretty mundane.
And the story really doesn't just grab you anymore. It's not even obvious. Anyway.
You know what turns me off about it is when you get to that scene with where they're cutting down the forest or whatever, and then you see this guy behind the wood. He's
what?
Control, you know, the guy who
guy that controls the drop that makes
the drop or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, you can see him.
You just see this dude just takes sitting you there. Out of it. Yeah. It's like, oh, hi, dude.
It's like, oh, he's the one cutting down the trees.
Right. Let's get him. That takes me out of it. Anyway.
I've never even noticed, actually, but I've only ridden Kali a handful of times. So,
I wanted to talk a little bit about 2023 since we're almost there. We're 2 weeks away. Tron, the first thing is, what do we think? It does look like it's very close to, being done. Do we think we're going to see the month of previews like we saw for Guardians and or Galaxy's Edge or what else do we see previews for?
Yes, I do think we're going to see that.
Maybe not a whole month.
We'll see previews.
Yeah. DVC, pass holders, media.
That's what I need to save up for. I need to go to that. Maybe that'll be during the Festival of the Arts. When does Festival of the Arts end next year?
Good question. Let's look it up. It should be maybe the end of February. It's usually early January to late February. And then Flower and Garden takes over.
It ends February 20th. Do you think they'll have previews by February 20?
I mean, if this opens in March, if Tron opens in March, which didn't you say that, John? Wasn't that your prediction, March?
I said they would have it out by the spring.
Spring break, yeah.
I think they following that pattern of purposefully holding on to attractions until they need them type. I think they're still doing that.
They're holding off, but I mean, they could definitely open this by March.
I think they could open it sooner if they wanted to. But
right. They could open it by January.
I think they're going to save it for a spring break thing. I guess they could push it to Memorial Day if they wanted, but I don't know if they'll go that far.
I hope they don't push it that far out because that just seems like they're.
I thought I heard it was supposed to be March. I think it's March.
Yeah. Which to me means February would be the preview month. Which would be great because my birthday and all.
Should I go ahead and see if there's an availability?
Just grab a. If your points are in holding, are you out of? Are you able to book February yet?
Not this far out.
You can do 30 days. What is it?
30 days.
He says that he wouldn't have done it anyway. Since you mentioned that.
So you gotta wait till mid-January maybe to see. I definitely want to do the preview of Tron for sure. We miss Guardians. I had a Guardians booked, by the way, with the preview, but I missed it because it was on a Thursday at 11 a.m. whatever.
The times went really fast.
They went quick. Yeah.
Just like everything nowadays.
We snagged the Galaxy's Edge preview pretty easily, though. I don't know what happened between.
You were ready.
Yeah. Anyway,
we were sitting in our guest when you got that.
Did you say Galaxy's Edge preview or specifically Rise?
Rise wasn't open for the preview.
It was the land.
The land.
And then Ratatouille was also easy to get a preview. Anyway.
Ratatouille was easy to get anything from the very beginning, just about.
I suppose. Anyway, so what was I going to say? 2023, there was something else. Oh, did you guys see that video too of that leaked video of the queue for Tron that somebody, like, no, it's literally like it. 4 seconds. But the queue looks completely done based on, again, this is like not confirmed that this is actually the one, but it probably is. But it was like inside the queue and it looked completely done inside, like everything looked done.
You sure it wasn't the queue from like Shanghai?
Right. A lot of people, that's why they have to say, like, you know, we're assuming. But it was empty and obviously, you know, it looked like.
Could have been there at closing. It could have been somebody going to Shanghai right now, actually.
It's possible, but anyway, rumor has it that that was the Disney World queue and it's all done inside. So really, they don't have much left to do. So,
I would imagine at this point, here we are, it's almost the end of the year. I would imagine it's pretty, all the cosmetic stuff is most definitely done.
Right, right.
I mean.
Yeah, for sure. So the next news story, moving on quickly to, is Woody's Roundup Rodeo Barbecue. They moved the opening of that to 2023. The last thing they said was it would open this year, 2022, but of course that's Space 220 syndrome.
Yep. We're going to see this in 2024.
Right, exactly. So as of right now, it says spring 2023. They did release some new photos and such of it, right? That you see those. So
are they having problems? Did the chef quit?
who knows?
Just for the barbecue.
Right, just bring over the Regal Eagle team. That's good barbecue.
Or the Hoop-De-Doo.
I mean.
Or do they really have barbecue there?
I mean, the ribs.
The ribs, yeah.
Ribs and beans. Are you guys excited to go try this out too? Do you want to go to this?
I mean, I probably would.
I mean, I'm going to try it, right?
Is this going to be your Fantasmic dining package?
I mean, I've got to give it a shot just because there's just so few good places at Hollywood Studios from a quick service perspective.
And then we're going to have to do an episode on Best Barbecue.
Isn't this a sit down though? Isn't this going to be a sit down?
I thought it was going to be a quick service with a lot of table space. You know,
It says here it's the first Toy Story table service restaurant coming to Toy Story Land.
Well, then I guess I'll give it a shot. By the way, I had an idea for our next trip. We're not going to do every ride. We're going to get the top 10 bars and lounges that we like. You have to visit all 10 and have at least one drink at all 10 in one day. That's going to be our next challenge. Just so I'm saying.
So
maybe we can add the Roundup to that as a
Did we pick a top 10 when we did that? I know we did top. Were there 10?
There was a top something.
Anyway, we should make sure we rank the top 10. And so what would, in a day, we have to do all this in a day?
You have to do 10 in a day.
Now that would be an interesting strategy. Like, when do you go to which one, and how?
Well, long I think do you stay at the each first one, the Rope, would be baseline.
Is that the one that opens the earliest? 10:15, 10:30? You mean? Is that the earliest open? We have to find out. Well, Nomad opens around 11, right? Usually,
right.
But you'd want to end there so you can just like chill there the rest of the day.
Oh, you would end at like Dahlia because it stays open later.
Well, a resort, yeah. Well, you'd end your park. Actually, all you do is go to Animal Kingdom just for that. But anyway,
name 10 that you would want to go to right now.
Okay, let's see. Let's name 10.
La Cava.
Can I come up with 10? Okay, Baseline, La Cava.
Baseline, La Cava. Dahlia.
Bar Riva. Bar Riva Dahlia,
said. Okay, that's 4. Sorry.
Enchanted Rose.
Yeah.
Trader Sam's.
Yep, I was going to say that. Nomad.
What else would make a top 10 list? I've thought of a few, but I'm trying to decide if they're
going
to
be. We're missing 3, right?
Yeah.
We've talked about like.
Would you give Gurgling Suitcase a spot?
No, I wouldn't give Gurgling Suitcase a spot.
Abracadabra.
Maybe.
Or, let's see. Why are we blanking on this?
Well, I've thought of a couple, but
apparently you only have seven.
I would say Brown Derby.
Brown Derby Lounge, yeah, that would make it.
Okay, so we have two more to go.
What else would you
Another resort?
Space 220, you can't really get in there.
Would you throw in Banana Cabana, maybe? Would that count?
Yeah, I mean, you could.
I would consider it.
Be possible.
What's at Beach Club? Nothing?
Yeah, nothing really over there. That would be
top 10 material. I'm trying to think if there's something at Animal Kingdom Lodge that would be considered. Because they have one, but I don't remember what it's called.
Would you put Regal Eagle on the
Saratoga?
List?
Saratoga?
Like the walk up there is really good, yeah.
Yeah, the walk up at Regal Eagle?
Yeah. I mean, that's good. I mean,
so you're having trouble coming up with 10.
Well,
Rose and Crown.
Maybe we should do top 5.
We could do Rose and Crown.
I mean, if you start getting some stuff together, maybe Steakhouse 71 Bar or.
Yeah, I was going to say the Contemporary is not, you know, the one that. What's the one I'm blanking on that we went to that's in that area? It's not good. No. Sky, what was it? Sky Bay?
Something at the Swan or the Dolphin? Anyway.
Shula's?
I think you would throw in Abracadabar. I think you got to throw that in. That's number 9. Yeah.
Makes sense. Okay,
throw that one in. And number 10 would have to be...
I'm sure there's somebody listening right now screaming out the name of one that we're forgetting, but...
That's, like, so incredible.
Or one that they would say you should try, maybe.
Yeah.
Could you throw in something like Three Bridges?
Well, we already had Dahlia. At Animal Kingdom, there's a couple of other bars that are pretty popular, but I just wouldn't want to go there after I've been a Nomad.
Tune In Lounge? Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
Oga's Cantina? Like, we haven't talked about Oga's. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure somebody's thinking that one.
Could you say just maybe like gimmick. Rose and Crown? I don't know.
We mentioned that one. If you want to.
Oh, did you already say Rose and Crown?
I said earlier. Okay. Oga's probably would. I mean, it's the one that is the most known that we didn't talk about, but so it's not our favorite.
So we're going to say that would be number 10. Let's see.
I mean, Oga's makes sense. It's a little harder to get into, kind of like Space 220 would be. So.
Ooh, how about a place you've never been, actually, in Disney Springs, Hangar Bar?
Oh, yeah, Jock Lindsay's. I've always wanted to go there. It's like Enzo's Hideaway. Anyway, we've talked
about Enzo's is nice. Okay, there you go. We got to get our 10. You got to drink at least one at each place all in one day. That's the Traveling with the Mouse Lounge Challenge.
So if you include Springs, though, that gives you like a lot of like ground to cover. So, yeah, it'll be that would be a good challenge, actually. Then it would also be like... You might have to use Disney transportation to get around after a couple. After like 5 of them, you might have to
take to ride the bus.
You may have no option. Or you'll get a minivan. Anyway. Yeah. That would also be a fairly expensive day.
Yeah.
But you could have your meals there too. You know, you could have Brown Derby Lounge, get a cod salad.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally Nomad, yeah. La Cava, you got to get the queso.
Get Barbas.
Of course. Actually, yeah, that's the rule. Is like you show up at La Cava early, and it's like, oh, Barbas is on the late shift today. You're like, oh, we got to bounce. Go back. We got to come back later. Okay. What's this I hear about the electric water pageant? Like half the floats are under like some sort of emergency refurbishment or something?
Uh-oh.
Emergency.
It says reportedly there's a major issue with the barges that
what's the electric water pageant again?
Oh, Lord. The water show.
I just had to throw that in there because that's what your brother would say. That's what James would say.
Yeah.
He'd be like, I don't know what this electric water pageant you speak of.
It says reportedly there's a major issue with one set of barges. That requires major repairs, and it'll be out for 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, how many barges technically are there?
There's two, like, sets of barges, I guess, to so independently.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like there was just two. I wasn't sure if there was more. I knew there was two.
Is it there's two like two of drivers? Seven?
There's like people that drive it,
right? I think there are seven floats on each one. Seven like separate boats.
I don't know. I mean, there's anyway. Like five of them that are the dragon, right?
So I think there's 14 total. Anyway, I don't know.
That was an exaggeration, only slightly.
But I saw a recent video of someone doing the water pageant, and I noticed only half the boats were out, and I was like, that is weird. But sometimes that happens. But
that used to happen back in the day.
Yeah, sometimes they only do half.
Remember, you get half a water show.
Yeah, which is weird, but apparently.
I mean, half an electrical water pageant.
Yeah. You think they're just, like, taking down the 50th lights?
No, that would just be one float, right? So,
now, when I was there a few weeks ago, I saw the full thing, and I got to see the 50th tag for the first time, and that was cool. We were standing at the resort monorail.
Something from the 50th that was cool?
Yeah, right. But I was standing at the resort monorail station at Magic Kingdom and saw it. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. Like, the perfect ending to that day was seeing that. Anyway.
Nice.
Let's see.
Nice.
Any other news? I'm trying to remember if there was something I meant to say.
Hold on, let me see if I
haven't really been looking. One.
I saw it didn't pop up until I was just scrolling through. They're going to refurb the mini golf.
Which one? So, oh, the Winter Summer
Winter Land. Summerland.
Oh,
okay. So, wonder what that means.
I don't know if they're just going to be frozen. Paint. Just do paint, yeah, or something.
Update it.
That's going to be. Oh, it says Cruise will also be replacing the tee pads. So they're going to, you know, get some stuff up to date.
I liked frozen. It. It was good. That was frozen. Fun. Oh, they're going to turn it frozen. I mean, it would make sense, wouldn't it?
Oh, something that I saw while I was there.
Yeah.
That's unrelated to the challenge that I should bring up. You can now see Tafiti peeking out.
Right.
I was over the wall at Epcot. As she has arisen up.
She has risen.
So you can definitely see it from the monorail, but even just walking past the wall, you can see her poking her head up.
Nice. I did see those pictures, yeah. Not as big as I was expecting, but it is cool. No, Tafiti itself. Like, in the movie, she's gigantic, isn't it? She's kind of like half size.
Seriously, Adam, you think they could make it life size as it would in the movie? Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't even fit in the park.
That would be as big as Spaceship Earth. Anyway.
Like, I want it to be true to life. I want the big island to be in Epcot.
Yeah. I want her to, like, pick me up, too, and, like, take me over to somewhere. Anyway.
I was going to say, you and your realistic, like, your voices.
I can't help it. Oh, this was a story I was going to do. Speaking of realistic, did you see that James Cameron has already pitched a Way of Water? James Cameron. Oh, and I did want to talk about Avatar, Way of Water. But he's already pitched Bob Iger the update to Flight of Passage to include Way of Water scenes. I think this is going to happen, right, at some point. This seems pretty obvious to do. Well, assuming the movie, like, blows up, which it's all, everyone's expecting it to.
Isn't it available some?
Yeah, as already? Of right now, as you're hearing this, it came out
That's
already.
What I'm
yeah, this is already out.
Is it just as long as the original?
Oh gosh, it's 3 hours and 10 minutes. I don't remember the first.
Maybe I'll make it through it. I remember I fell asleep at your house actually during watching trying to watch the first one.
So I was thinking about going to see this tomorrow night, but now I'm just like, I can't.
I'm seeing it next week.
That makes sense. I told somebody who's going to see it like this weekend, like, let me know if it's worth the 3 hour investment of my time. And I'll decide next week if I'm going to go.
I will not be doing this.
Yeah. Or am I going to wait for...
It's going to have to be like this going to have to get the reviews that say it's the Casablanca of this era for me to
To the theater. I'm sure it's visually going to be amazing, but it's like the story. I mean, never count James Cameron out. Like, he always delivers, doesn't he? So,
does he?
I mean,
always delivers.
What's a bad movie that James Cameron's made?
I don't really know all of his stuff. I know his usual stuff.
What's a bad sequel that he's made?
Oh, a bad sequel? I don't know.
Anyway.
You had to just rephrase that because you're...
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure maybe he's made a bad, but I mean, he's got a pretty good track record, so that's going to be a good movie. So
He only makes a movie like every 5 years anyway, doesn't he?
Yeah, actually, has he made anything since the first Avatar? Is he
literally doesn't make everything very often.
I feel like he's only been working on Avatar, and that's all he's going to do now the rest of his career.
Maybe so.
Because there's supposed to be three more after this, like Avatar films, right? There's supposed to be a total of five.
He always has a common thread in his films. I can't explain it. Like, there's always something in his movies that you have seen in another one of his movies. It's like he works it in there, so to speak. Mm. Like, one thing that comes to mind, the Aliens, the one he did, the sequel. Mm-hmm. So there's a scene in there in which, like, the alien, like, opens the door to whatever that vehicle is they're in. And, of course, the Marine that's in there, I can't remember if it's Hicks or not, but he like blows his head off, right? He sticks a shotgun in his face, right? Mm-hmm. And shoots him. Well, parallel to that, Terminator 2, the scene in the elevator, he opens that up and he gets blown away with it. I mean, he always has little things like that that you would point at and he's like, oh, that's
James being Cameron. Blown off.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, you know, it was similar.
Right.
But I think it was on purpose. It's kind of like a Wilhelm scream.
Yeah, sort of maybe thing. He hides certain things in his films.
And he has a lot of the same actors that he uses.
Tarantino does that, obviously, too.
Yeah. Well, and Adam Sandler always has all his buddies. Right.
That's true. Basically, yeah. That's a good point. Everyone kind of does that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Way of Water update. He's already pitched it to Bob Iger. Bob Iger apparently liked the idea, according to this. He did like some interview James Cameron did and said that he's already pitched it to him. I mean, when James Cameron pitches you something, are you going to be like, "Yeah, I don't think so."
Like, you're going to at least consider it, but this is not like the like an earth-shattering idea, though. You're just talking about changing some scenes in a
right
in a film-based attraction. They probably would
redo it, right? I mean, it's kind of like Soren, you know, they're going to be.
That's Avatar. What I'm saying. It's kind of like doing Soren or kind of like adding the scenes they did to Star Tours or, you know.
Right.
Along those lines. It's not like it's going to be a ton of... It's not going to be a huge overhaul is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that'll be... It'll happen at some point soon, especially if the movie's big.
Yeah. Most of what they would change would be the film part, right? There's nothing else that really need to change.
Well, right. Obviously. I mean, it would be cheap too. I guess that's my other thing. It would change the film and then...
I kind of like Flight of Passage the way it is, but
yeah. I mean, I do too, but I will, you know, the last time I wrote it, it's like, it's still great, but I think visually they could make it look better because it would be newer. So I think it could improve.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, you know, the wait times are dropping for Flight of Passage. It's not like it used to be. So this would beef it back up to the 2 to 3 hour waits every day.
Let's see, when is Animal Kingdom getting something new? They've been the longest without something now.
Yeah. The whole Dino Land thing, is that going to be? That's going to take 20 years to build whatever they decide to do or not do.
Yeah.
Anyway, pass holder discounts dropped like the day after Jason left and the day before I go there. So
he's going to end.
Going to completely miss. But. Nice that they did that. Some of the holiday kitchens at Festival of the Holidays got it. The merch discount went up to 30 again.
I can say, was that Disney doing the like the Christmas sale thing? Like that they seen in The Grinch was like for the next 30 seconds only or something like that. Or whatever he says.
Yeah.
Everything half thought or like, I don't know, practically free or whatever he said. I can't remember how you said it.
Right. last thing I was going to mention is that Destination D 23 event is going to be at Disney World next year.
Nice.
At the Contemporary, September 8th through the 10th. So is this going to, like, are they actually going to, like, revise their the Disney World segment that got so much flack at D23 this year?
As being Blue Sky?
Yeah, the whole Blue Sky stuff. Are they going to, like...
Are they going to make it gray sky?
Bring it down to Earth?
No.
I think it was gray sky when they announced it, but...
Anyway. They might give a little more details.
Yeah. So one of the things, so I think we're moving now into the trip report or the challenge rate recap.
Challenge report. Challenge
what? Recap. Yes, this is it. Let's do it. I'm excited.
I was going to ask you up front about the Modify Genie mm-hmm. Plus.
Yeah.
What was your thought on that? You did get to use it.
I did. As we mentioned last week, the update came out for the My Disney Experience app, as well as the Disneyland app, which now offers the chance to modify your Lightning Lane. You don't have to drop it and get a new one. And the benefit here is there were strategies to do a quick drop and repull, but the downside to that was it would reset your two-hour timer for getting a new Lightning Lane. The Modify inside the app does not reset your timer. And the only restriction to the Modify is you can only modify to an attraction at the same park. I tested this the day before I went to the challenge. And I used it to great effect. So essentially, I woke up in the morning and went ahead and booked what I wanted to ride, which was Test Track. And I just continued to modify it throughout the morning to a later and later time. In fact, the park had opened and I had yet to leave town. And yeah. I was able to modify it and test it. It did not, in fact, change my next booking time. I was still able to start stacking at Epcot exactly 2 hours after the park opened, even though I was modifying into before that. On the challenge day, I used Modify to great effect where I would tap into a ride. I would grab the next best thing I could find so that I could go ahead and get on the clock for a 2 hour and then modify. Now, the 2 hour thing didn't matter as much for the challenge because often I was trying to pull something that was less than 2 hours in the future. So if you're doing that, your timer is going to be whenever you tap in or once that window expired, which was less than 2 hours into the future. But that said, I was able to do that and then modify. Yeah. A couple of notes when doing it inside of the app. When you modify, you are presented with, at the very top, the ride that you have already selected. Yeah. And then it is an alphabetical list below that of the rides within the park that you can modify into. That does not take into account the starred attractions that you have if you set it up via Genie. Right. So you won't see your selected attractions at the top of the list. However, if you are in the app and you decide to, for instance, click in on a different ride. So say I have booked Magic Carpets of Aladdin, and I go to modify it. That will be at the top, and I scroll down a little bit and then tap on, say, Peter Pan's Flight, and then hit back, and then scroll back up to the top of the modify and do a refresh. On the refresh, it will automatically scroll me down to Peter Pan's Flight. So it will remember the last thing you tapped on and make that be the thing you see upon refresh.
Okay.
Disney AI.
That's pretty good. Yes.
Now, you still run into the thing where what's advertised on that screen once you tap in may no longer be available. But I did not ever run into, and this may have just been luck, where you got to the first screen where it offered you the fast pass. You know, you see the sort of like advertised fast pass. You get to the next screen, the confirm screen, Yeah. And I hit confirm, and then the time changed from that screen to confirm. So that did not happen to me. And I was able to get quite a few instant, near instant fast passes of some very good things. And as we get into lightning lane.
I know. It's like that was the dumbest thing they ever did was change the name. But anyway.
I'm going to keep calling it fast pass because people know maybe, what I'm talking about.
Maybe our girl will change it back. Anyway.
Are we sure Bob Chapek wasn't AI? Maybe that was an experiment.
Or experiment gone wrong.
But as you'll hear when I go through the recap, like I was able to secure quite a few lightning lanes pretty easily.
Let's get into it.
All right.
Sweet.
If you did not follow along with my challenge, just to give you some background, I ran this challenge with my 7-year-old son, Andrew. It was his first time running the challenge. He has always wanted to run. In 2019, on July the 4th, I ran a challenge that I ended early. And he did go on a couple of rides with me later that evening, but he had never run one end to end.
Yeah.
For this challenge, we ran the Every Ride Points Challenge, which is a version of the challenge where each ride is given a point value to ride it. You are also given a bonus for park completions. This is a version that allows you to essentially have a score, even though it's very unlikely you're going to complete. This was part of the Every Ride Challenge Weekend, which started on the 7th of December and ended on the 10th of December, which is when we ran. On the day we ran, we also ran on the same day as Disney in a Day ran with his daughter, Mackenzie. So there were two, as she's 8, as I understand, so there were 2, 8, 7, and 8, and my son is almost 8-year-olds running the challenge on the same day. Cool. And at the end of the day, just as a preview, my son Andrew and I completed 30 rides for a grand total of 545 points. Andrew did a great job. He outperformed my wildest dreams and was really into it. And did not lose steam until pretty late into the night, which we'll get into. I do believe that if he hadn't lost steam, something like 35, 36 was on the table for him. I'll also say that if there's a couple of things that I realized running with a 7-year-old we often take for granted, much higher was on the table if I had been running either by myself or with another adult, because by running with a 7-year-old, you do not get the luxury of single rider lines, even though he was eligible. Had I sent him on the single rider line, there is no way for him to take a picture of himself on the ride because he does not have a phone. So you have to work around the lack of single rider lines and you have to get lightning lanes and things like that.
Right. That makes sense.
We started the day at the Grand Floridian. I was able to secure a DVC room at the Grand Floridian. And my goal was to start at Magic Kingdom. Now, the leading strategy for Every Ride is to start at Epcot. There's a couple of reasons for that. You can get Epcot done easily.
That's right.
And then there's usually a hop to from Epcot to Magic Kingdom to do some of the rides that will close early at Magic Kingdom for just a few. Hop over to Animal Kingdom and ride everything there. Hop over to Hollywood Studios, ride everything there. Then head back to Magic Kingdom and close out the night. That's the typical strategy. I found that would be pretty hard for a first-time challenger. Epcot is a pretty spread-out park. And I wanted to try a challenge to see what would it look like to really just go all in on Magic Kingdom to start with. Knowing that given that this was a day that didn't have a long hours end-to-end, essentially a completion of the entire challenge was impossible. So the strategy going in was start at Magic Kingdom, ride a single ride at Animal Kingdom, because you have to ride at least one ride in every park for the challenge to count. Ride a single ride at Animal Kingdom and try to complete as much or all of Hollywood Studios and or Epcot before returning to Magic Kingdom to clean up for the end of the night. The hours for each park, Magic Kingdom opened to theme park resort guests at 8:30 and closed at 11. Epcot opened at 8:30 and closed at 9:30 p.m. Hollywood Studios opened at 8:30 and closed at 9. And Animal Kingdom opened at 7:30 and closed at 8. That's what we were working on. In theory, you could have gotten more hours if you had rope dropped Animal Kingdom, but that only would have mattered if the park hopping restrictions did not exist, because you would have been done with Animal Kingdom by like 10, and then you would have just been hanging around until 2. So that was our strategy. We started from the Grand Floridian, and of course we were up really early. My goal was to be the very first people onto Mine Train. At 7 a.m., I went ahead and picked up individual lightning lanes and lightning lanes to get us through the day. With that strategy in mind, I went ahead and booked Jungle Cruise for our opening lightning lane. That was a 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Jungle Cruise. I booked a Rise of the Resistance, which was, I think, a 4 to 5 p.m. or something like that, Rise to Resistance, somewhere around there. And then I booked a very late Guardians, a 7:45 to 8:45 p.m. Guardians of the Galaxy individual lightning lane.
Did you have any issues like timing that out with?
Yeah.
No, I did Jungle Cruise as my first one, and then the other two were ILLs, so you can pick the time of the ILL.
Well, it didn't sell out is what I was trying to get at. Like,
no,
before
they
you
did not. They
could,
did no. Yeah.
You had plenty of time because you're a resort guest, so you had plenty of time to.
Yeah, they were plenty available. So I bought all that. Okay. We got up very early. We were the very first folks into Gasparilla's at 6 a.m., I believe. Six a.m. When it opened, before they were serving hot food, we were able to get the bagel and cinnamon roll and coffee. And then we went on a stroll down the Grand Floridian walkway and got to where the electric water present bridge was, and it was closed. So we were like, this isn't going to work, or we're going to have to sit around and wait. So instead, we strolled on our way back to the Grand Floridian and went to the monorail station and awaited the very first monorail, which opened at 7 a.m. However, we were told when we got on the monorail that the earliest they can open the doors at Magic Kingdom is 7:30 in the morning.
So
we got on the monorail and we rode an entire loop. And when we got back around, when we got to Magic Kingdom, the doors opened at 7:29 a.m. And we were the very first people in line waiting for them to open the gates to Magic Kingdom. So we were the very first people at the Tap Styles for the day. Very proud of
that.
Tap Styles open, first people up Main Street, first people on the rope, and we were on the very first Mine Train open to guests for that day. There was a Mine Train that went out in front of us because we saw that they had the film crews out before the park was open. The Disney World ambassador, I forget his name, but the guy that you always see in all the Disney park stuff, I saw him walking along. It appears that they went on a very early morning Mine Train ride just before the park opened, because as we were getting off Mine Train, we got stuck behind some of the film crew. But yeah, we were on the very first Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and got on at 8:31 a.m.
Yeah. Sweet.
So pretty exciting. The next choice was to sort of try to recreate some of the path that I did on my last run, which was a successful Parkeology challenge, using some of the strategies from the Brothers WDW that we talked about. I did a lot of the same things already back in 2019, which is to take some of the really low weights on some of the kiddie or Fantasyland rides, because you can get them as walk-ons that early and lines are not going to build that fast elsewhere. And later in the day, those rides will no longer be walk-ons. You're going to start adding in maybe 10 to 15 minute waits or longer for some of them. Got off Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, walked over towards Space, and I saw that the line was pretty backed up for Space right at the rope, because I feel like a lot of people went from when they arrived directly to Space. So opted to go over to Buzz because I knew it would be a walk-on. Yeah. Got on Buzz and then went over to Space. Still had about the same amount of weight as I probably would have had before. Did Space, did Speedway. Speedway had a little bit of a backup, which is all right. Barnstormer, Dumbo, and Teacups. All of this got on Teacups at 9:56 a.m. Remember, I had a 9 to 10 a.m. Jungle Cruise. So we went, that's what we were trying to do. Get as much as we could done over there before we had to get a Jungle Cruise. Got on Jungle Cruise at 10:07 a.m., which was our very first Lightning Lane. That was our eighth ride of the morning already. At that point, there was a little bit that we had to work around. There was a lot of operational challenges in the morning. Big Thunder Mountain was closed. Liberty Square Riverboat was closed. And the Haunted Mansion were all closed because they were all broken down. We chose to go to Splash because I was able to, I had a Pirates that I tap grad modified into an immediate Splash Mountain. Went over to Splash and rode that. Then rode Pirates of the Caribbean with a Lightning Lane. Rode Magic Carpets of Aladdin with a Lightning Lane. And then went to It's a Small World with a Lightning Lane. So five straight Lightning Lanes in a row.
Sweet. Okay.
All until 11:36 a.m. So I feel like we are flying. That is 12 rides, three hours into park opening.
Not bad, Four an hour.
Average. We get off of It's a Small World because I had Tap Grab modified into an immediate Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. We were planning to head there. Okay. As we were walking past Haunted Mansion, I noticed that they had literally just opened the queue from the breakdown. And even though it had listed something like a 60-minute wait, we walked straight into the standby queue all the way into the stretching room. And then it broke down three times while we were on the ride.
Of course. That's gonna
and happen. Once before we even got on. So once while we were waiting to get on and three more times. So it took a lot longer than I would have liked, but we did get on there at 12:11 p.m. We were able to get Haunted Mansion in. I noted when we were about to board our next ride at 12:42 p.m., the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad with a Lightning Lane, Haunted Mansion had gone down.
Again. Good timing then. Good timing.
Yeah, we got in. This is a perfect time to get on the riverboat. So that's exactly what we did. We got a little bit of that in. I will note a couple of things up to this point, Adam. I was much kinder to my son than I was to you. Before we got on Pirates, I allowed him to stop and we had a little bit of food. And he also asked for a bathroom break and I obliged to that. Two things that I would never have said yes to for you. I would have said, suck it up. Don't eat.
Yeah.
Don't pee. You don't get any of that.
I wouldn't have thought to ask, though. Well, I would have known not to ask.
Yeah. Adam still complains to this day about how I made him hold his pee for like 7 hours or something like that on one of our challenge runs. It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
We almost completed, though, you know?
Yeah.
Every second jump.
Every drop counts. Anyway.
Yeah. So we did the Liberty Square Riverboat at 12:53 p.m. We're starting to get close to when we are allowed to park hop. Right. But I wanted to get as much in. I thought, you know, there were 22 rides at Magic Kingdom and I wanted to come back because I knew if Epcot closed at 9:30 and we were able to hop back, it was, you know, Magic Kingdom's open till 11. I didn't want to leave any more than three or four rides for us to ride upon return in hopes that maybe we might complete Magic Kingdom. So in that case, I picked up a Winnie the Pooh Fast Pass.
Yeah.
So did Winnie the Pooh.
Did Pooh. Yeah.
Yep. And then Little Mermaid, which actually on the score sheet that every ride put out did not mark it as a fast pass. We did, or Lightning Lane. We did use a Lightning Lane there.
Yeah.
And then went and did Carousel of Progress at 2:01 p.m. So a little bit behind schedule where, you know, in an ideal world would have loved to have got on Carousel of Progress before it was park hop time, but did Carousel of Progress, got off, and then power walked our way back to the Grand Floridian where we were in the parking lot. That was a rough walk in the sun.
I bet, yeah.
Did a park hop. So we got on Carousel of Progress at 2:01 p.m. We park hopped. We walked and park hopped and got on Triceratops Spin with Scott Kumka at 3:13 p.m. So that was an hour and 12 minutes from when Carousel of Progress started to when we were on Triceratops Spin.
Yeah.
The reason we chose Triceratops Spin was quick and easy. I was really trying to talk Andrew into taking Collie River Rapids because Collie River Rapids had about the same weight as Triceratops Spin. It was essentially a walk-on. You just had to walk the queue, but it is worth more points. Triceratops Spin is 10, I believe.
Right.
Triceratops Spin was 10 and Collie is worth 15. So it would have been a bonus 5 points to choose Collie over Triceratops Spin. Yeah.
How much is Everest?
I think 20.
Was that out of the question?
Well, if we could have done single rider, I would have pushed that. But doing single rider.
You got to get in and out of Animal Kingdom, though. That's the you got to get out of there quickly. You just need to hit a ride to count.
Make sure it counts. Yeah. Now, I was talking to Disney in a day. John is his name, and he said that he was like, "What are you going to do?" At this point, he was wondering, "What was I going to do at Hollywood Studios?" I did have a 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock Rise of the Resistance booked, and Hollywood Studios is notorious for having a lot of e-ticket rides that are, you know, going to have really long waits. So what am I going to do? So while I was still in Magic Kingdom, after I got on Little Mermaid, but before I got on Carousel of Progress, I was able to also pick up a lightning lane for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway that went from, I believe, 4:20 to 5:20, if I recall correctly, somewhere around there. So I had two rides already stacked, Mickey and Minnie's. Yeah. And I also got that early enough that I was going to, by the time I got to Hollywood Studios, have another 2 hour wait pass so I could add on yet another lightning lane. And I had timed it such that that 2 hour window would expire before the drop time for Hollywood Studios. So I went to Hollywood Studios, rode Star Tours, and also was able to hit the drop time as I was getting onto Star Tours to pick up Slinky Dog Dash as a lightning lane as well. So it was at this point that I decided that we were most likely not going to complete Hollywood Studios because that was the last drop. It was going to be very hard to get on Tower of Terror without waiting over an hour. And Rock and Roller Coaster would have been useful to have single rider. Otherwise, I was also going to have to probably wait 45 minutes plus to ride that. So I thought, well, let's try to see if we could get everything except for Sunset Boulevard, which is almost what we did. We ended up opting not to get Alien Swirling Saucers. I actually got in line at one point and got back out because it's only 10 points and we would have had to wait at least 30 minutes, which is not a good time to points trade-off. Yeah. So we rode Star Tours, Slinky Dog Dash with a lightning lane, Rise of the Resistance with an individual lightning lane, the Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway that I mentioned. After getting on Slinky Dog Dash, I was able to pull a Toy Story Mania that would have timed right after Mickey and Minnie's, which we used. And as we were on Toy Story Mania, I was able to pull a Tap Grab Modify Instant Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run.
Wow.
So we were able to use in Hollywood Studios a lightning lane for Slinky Dog Dash, Rise of the Resistance, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, Toy Story Mania, and Falcon. We got on Star Tours at 3:49 p.m., and we got on the Falcon at 5:57 p.m. So in about 2 hours, we did six rides at Hollywood Studios. That's pretty and good. Some big ones, too.
Yeah.
Racked up some points, too, because the Rise of the Resistance is 50 points. Mickey and Minnie, Slinky Dog Dash are 25 apiece. Toy Story Mania and the Falcon are 20 apiece, and Star Tours is 15. So, most pretty nice. Impressive.
Yeah, that's good.
While we were on the Millennium Falcon, I was pulling stuff for Epcot, and I was able to tap, grab, and modify my way into a near-instant Remy's Ratatouille Adventure that late in the day, after 5:30 at night.
We should rename it to buy, grab, and modify, right? Well,
sure.
Yeah.
But quick question on that. So you had to basically have no other lightning lane at all before you can switch parks, I assume, right?
No. If you're after your two-hour window, you can go get something at a different park.
But you can modify that one.
Yeah, no, I booked something other than Remy's at first, but I didn't even post that lightning lane. And then I booked it and then modified my way back. I just kept refreshing, saw Remy's and took that.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, now
then modified my way in. Because I knew we were leaving, modified my way back into Epcot.
Okay, so, right. As long as you get a lightning lane for whatever park it is, you can modify to a different ride in that park.
Correct.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I was able to score Remy's, which I was really impressed with, which left me with a dilemma. How do I get to Remy's? Because the thing is, my Remy's was going to be 3 minutes after the Epcot drop time, which means as long as I got there 5 minutes before the lightning ring would have been tapped in, I would be there just in time to do the drop.
He's got 2 minutes to.
So how do I get there that quickly after the Millennium Falcon Smugglers Run? I'm right. parked in preferred parking at Hollywood Studios. I drive to the Yacht right. Club, walk from the yeah. Yacht Club into the International Gateway, right. thinking we're going to make it plenty of time. And somehow there must have been a candlelight processional that just got out. Because oh, the lightning man. Lane return for Remy's went all the way back beyond the crapery. So I did not tap in until about 3 to 4 minutes after the drop. Boom. Which I thought, well, that's going to make us miss Frozen. But I was able to end up getting a Frozen. And I kept refreshing. And then the thing that Andrew wanted to ride more than anything popped up, an instant return lightning lane for Test Track.
Yeah. Wow.
So I took that. We went from Remy's over to Test Track, tapped in, got to the design studio, and they came out and said, Test Track is down for an extended period. If you'll wait, we'll give you a return pass. A lot of people left. We were in the very last people to get into the design studio. So we had to stand around for a while because Andrew absolutely had to have Test Track. So we went and waited and waited and waited. They took us through a line to get the lightning lane. And that lightning lane they gave us, the recovery lightning lane, was very good. First of all, it was good until the next day. And it included everything at every park except for the ones that were the individual lightning lanes. So I could have ridden anything except for the ILL attractions at any park for the rest of that night or the next day. Wow. We end up not using that lightning lane because we saved it so that Andrew could ride Test Track the next day because Test Track did not reopen that evening at Epcot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that wasted quite a bit of time. Had we actually ridden Test Track, that would have added on to our ride total. We probably would have had a little bit more time to maybe even fit in Spaceship Earth or something, but we didn't. So instead, we got sort of escorted out and ended up over at Mission Space. Went from Mission Space to Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind Christmas Edition with an individual lightning lane. And while I was on Mission Space, or maybe right before Guardians, I was able to pull none other than a Frozen Ever After lightning lane that I could use. So... Yeah. We went from Guardians over to Frozen Ever After. Andrew had really started to fade at this point. Especially, what really took it out of him was the fact that he didn't get Test Track. That was ride 29, and he and I had set a goal for 30 rides. Now, I could have just taken him over to the Grand Fiesta Tour. We could have gotten 30, but he was hungry. He wanted a pretzel. So I walked him over to Germany and got him the giant pretzel. And I said, listen, let's do the last park hop, buddy. And let's go ride the People Mover and make it 30. I knew a lot of people were going to be over there. So I put that on Twitter, and I was able to Kindle, I think, bossed around a little bit of the rest of the Every Ride folks and said, go meet Jason, which appreciate. So I was able to meet Disney in a Day, his wife and his daughter, Mackenzie, John Welch, Jason, Jay Flyers, and Rich Hurt, who was also there as well. So we were able to all meet up and ride the People Mover together, which, by the way, when we arrived, the People Mover was down. So, you know, we had to wait a little bit. But the 30th ride at 10:22 p.m. was the People Mover. Now, I will go ahead and say, had Andrew not gotten tired, we could have done a few more at Epcot probably. And I do believe we had enough time with the time that we hopped that we could have completed Magic Kingdom, because what we had left when we got there was Astro Orbiter, People Mover, Prince Charming Regal's Carousel, and Peter's Pan's Flight. So the plan, had we had the energy, was going to be Astro, People Mover, Carousel, make the last ride that we walk into right before close be Peter Pan.
Peter Pan, which makes sense. Yeah.
This ended up for 30 rides for myself and Andrew for 545 points, which turned out to be the most rides on that day and the most points on that day. So really proud of Andrew, really proud to get back on the course. And it was everything I hoped for. I know it's not the best strategy to get the most points, but also there was no completing that day. And I know that there's a lot of just satisfaction in just getting a lot of rides in back to back to back. And that's what Magic Kingdom gives you. And to do that when you're early on in the day and just do that,
it feels good to get that ride count early on.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. I walked 19 miles, about 35,000 steps, something like that. Yeah. I did finish the night at Casey's. So because Andrew crapped out early a little bit, we did not keep going all the way to close. So I was able to sit at Casey's and enjoy the ambiance, get a castle picture. We rode the monorail loop back to Grand Floridian and then had to drive over to Saratoga where I was staying that night. We did not get back to our room till after like 12:30 at night. Slept in, did not buy GD the next day, and went back and used our Lightning Lane to ride Test Track before we headed home.
Left.
So nice. Overall, a fantastic challenge. It was really good to be back on the course. And I'm hopeful that they'll get rid of the park hopping restrictions because that would make it a lot more exciting. I will also say that I hope that I can find a good day with a lot of good hours to run. And it was good to raise money for Give Kids the World. Obviously, I didn't ride the rafts because I was riding the Every Ride version. You know, that's their version of the challenge. Right. They also currently don't require you, just to be clear, to ride the Main Street vehicles because Disney World does not list them as a, you know, a regularly running attraction. They randomly run. They also do not require you to ride the Wildlife Express train, which we could talk about whether or not that's a...
Just ask the AI.
Yeah.
We forgot to ask about that one.
I know that you're... You know, the hardcore kind of anything that moves should be a ride. But the more I think about it, me, like, I would probably rather do ones that don't include that because Wildlife Express literally goes one place and comes right back. To me, a ride should be something that's an experience, not transportation. But, you know,
yeah,
I would probably want to run under that just personally because I would have a better chance of completing, but also. I wouldn't have fun riding Wildlife Express or stuff like that. Just to, it's too much pressure, like Main Street vehicles as well to
get it. Yeah, but Main Street vehicles is kind of fun, especially if you're trying to catch one.
Right, but I mean, that ruins your day at like 10 a.m. if you don't catch it, you know, or if they're not out, like your day's over. So it's like, that sucks.
Do they even do them out in the evenings anymore?
Disneyland, it's been seen, I think, fairly recent, but no, well, Disney World, no.
It was always seen more frequent at Disneyland than Disney World anyway.
But anyway, I will also say congratulations to the Every Ride folks for how much money they raised.
Yeah, for charity.
Yeah, for Give Kids the World.
I know they raised, I think they raised over $10,000 just from the challenge week alone.
Yeah, of course, Give Kids the World is a wonderful organization that we all know and love. So congrats. On a very successful campaign. And so there's still time to donate.
Yeah. A couple more stats just to mention. Obviously, I did 2 individual lightning lanes, and I did 14 regular lightning lanes on this run.
Wow. Well done.
Well done.
The app works for the Modify now. It does make it better, right? I do think I'm on a non-challenge day, I'm going to enjoy the fact that there is a Modify option. A lot.
Since day one, man, I'm excited to use it, even if I have to pay $29 a person or more. At least,
what makes you think it's going to be $29 a person?
Because Thanksgiving week was
Christmas Day. He's going to be lucky if it's only $29.
Yeah, I know it might be $50. Anyway, we'll see.
So we'll really see. Yeah. The question is, will this ever go away? The tiered pricing.
Duh. Park hopping is the number one thing that they've got to fix, but then right under that is
tiered pricing. Wouldn't you think that if there was really a big intention to change some of this stuff, that they would have already started?
I think I've heard after the holidays is when some of this might change.
Yeah, I feel like they
are. Is that wishful thinking,
next
though?
Year? I think it's a good cutoff is like start fresh next year.
It's like, yeah, let's make all this money over the holidays. We'll start over next year and try to make nice at the beginning of the year.
Right. Yeah, agreed. They already have a pass holder discount next year that goes all the way to like April, right? Something like that.
Well, I hope that maybe they'll have some longer hours too. Like get rid of the park hopping restriction and give us like a good 17-hour day sometime, so that it'll be like a, you know, that's what we need. 16-17-hour day. I'd even take a good 18-hour just so we could all get out on the, like, if they have an 18-hour day, no park hopping, everybody's going to be running again on that day.
I think this might take longer than most people think, though, because since they already have the cutoff with park hopping, I'm sure I'm sure Iger will want to still see the data of how it's worked over the last, how long has it been? Mm-hmm. Has it been over a year?
For Genie Plus? So, yeah.
No, but I'm talking about for the park hopping after two.
Oh. Oh yeah. I mean, wasn't that...
Was it around the same time?
2020, that was July? Since COVID.
Oh, yeah. Has it been since COVID? I thought it just didn't happen at all at COVID.
Yeah, it did. When they brought it back post-COVID, it's been nothing
else. Yeah, since like July 2020.
Less than 2 years.
More than two. Obviously. It's been two. Two and a half. It's been two. Almost.
Anyways, that's all I wanted to say about that.
Well, is the Grand Floridian lobby being refurbished? Is that what somebody
said? It is. It's going to be.
I didn't mention that. All right. Well, there you have it. There's the last news story. All right. So where can we be found, John?
Well, there is Facebook. There is Twitter. There is Instagram. We have a YouTube channel. And, of course, we have a Spreadshirt store where you can buy your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast. And I did not give you the handle for the others. That is all at TWTM podcast on the social media platforms.
And on our website, you can find links to that and more. Our email address is podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And if you want to have help planning your next Disney trip, you can use our travel agent friend. Links to that is also on our website. For John and Jason, my name is Adam. This is Traveling with the Mouse, and we shall see you, hopefully, on our next trip.
Like pay, grab, and modify. Stop, drop, and roll.
Calling all parents. Meet the Family Cash Card, Greenlight's newest credit card for parents. You can earn up to 3% cash back on every dollar spent. No limits, no categories, no hassle, no kidding. You can choose to auto-invest your cash back to pay for your kids' college, apply it to your balance, or send your cash back straight to your wallet. It's basically cash back your way every day. Get started today at greenlight.com.